Life is a winding road, no telling where it goes. Driving through days and nights, won't stop for traffic lights. And I really wanna know, really wanna know, if I will ever figure out where the road goes. Even if I'm falling down, I will keep on searching for my highs. You can say I lost my mind, I will keep on holding my head high. Even if the sky is falling down,
welcome back to another episode of Successfully Chaotic, where we dive deep into the stories and strategies that inspire us to live our best and most productive lives. I'm your host, Maria Daniels, and today we're exploring a topic that actually touches many of us, and it's moving from burnout to balance. And I know if you are a human living this thing called life, it's probably true that you've experienced some type of burnout. So today I want to talk with my special guest, and we chatted for a long time when we did our pre-podcast chat, and we hit it off, and I really was excited to be able to have this episode because I know a lot of my listeners have struggled with hitting burnout. I know myself, I feel like I've hit it so many times. You think I'd learn, but I tend to fall off that wagon sometimes. So I'm excited that today Christy's going to be able to kind of walk us through this topic, and I'm excited for a great conversation. But first, I want Christy to kind of jump in and tell you all just a little bit about herself.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me today. I am Christy Heiduk, and I am the owner of 9to5 Wellness. I came from a corporate background in advertising and in different leadership roles within the corporate setting to owning my own business and learning how to balance that new challenge with family and other types of commitments that happen with life. And for me, my passion is just helping people maintain their meaningful movements. And with that is their balance.
Well, I know we talked for quite a while just about that you are a yoga instructor, you're a personal trainer, and I have a background in both of those things as well. But, and I have a background in corporate, as most of my listeners know too. So I think there was so much, you know, common ground on a lot of those things. But I think it's important for people to realize that, you know, whether you jump into yoga, jump into training, jump into whatever, the point is to try to find your own sense of balance. And that's something that we talk about on the show a lot, is figuring out kind of your own version of success, your own version of balance, your own version. What does that feel like to you? And I think that for a lot of us, we're looking for what our things are. And we have to try different things, right? Yeah. And for you, can you share a little bit about your journey to getting into yoga, to getting into personal training, and what inspired you to focus on functional wellness as a whole?
Yeah, absolutely. I have always been an active individual. I grew up in that time where it was get out of the house, go do something, find something to do. I don't want to see you a little bit. Until later, go entertain yourself. I loved being outside, and I would often take long walks, go for a bike ride. I was one of those people that didn't want to sit still. I wanted to go out and I wanted to explore. And so getting into that later in life just seemed very natural for me. But I very much followed that path that is laid out in schools. As you go to school, you find out what you want to do at a really young age in life, and then you go to college, and then you go do that thing. And so I went through all of those steps. I went to college. I did that thing. I got into advertising, and I always ended up in some sort of leadership role within that as well. So managing teams, managing other individuals. And it became a challenge to balance everything. And what I always came back to, whether it was in the corporate world or in college or even in high school, if I was feeling stressed and I was feeling out of balance, I would always go to movement. So whether that's going for a long walk to clear my head, I would say getting on the yoga mat, but just doing yoga was a huge thing that really helped me get through stressful points in life. And so when that became super stressful in the corporate setting, I started to lean even more into that. And it really started to open my eyes to just a whole different way of living, a whole different thought process when it came to a lot of things that we experience as adults.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, a lot of these jobs, because I mean, when you're telling your story, I felt a lot of my story, which I know a lot of my listeners are feeling the same way right now, that it was, you had this goal. You kind of got a little bit of a say-so on your goal that you picked. And it was just like, well, this is, you know, this is it. This is my life. This is what I'm doing. And, you know, not that there's not pieces of it that you may enjoy, but I think for a lot of us, we come to a point that we start to feel stuck, right? And then stuck turns into a whole lot of other emotions, which in turn a lot of times ends up leading to burnout. In your experience, what's the most common signs of burnout? And, you know, how does physical wellness kind of help to mitigate some of these signs?
Yeah. So for burnout and what I've experienced personally is it becomes this deactivation almost. You start to deactivate from things that really brought joy to your life. So at the time when I was working in corporate, a lot of that was I didn't want to go do yoga practice. I didn't want to keep up my own personal practice. I didn't want to go for daily walks. My daughter and I love to go for daily walks, and I didn't want to. I didn't not just have the energy to do it, but just in my headspace, there was no will, no motivation to go do that. So I think for a lot of us, it comes in this, we lack energy, we lack motivation, and we just are kind of almost become a little bit robotic. So I've really noticed that in myself when I was at the peak of that. I was on a schedule and I kept to that schedule, and anything in between, you know, either I pushed it aside or I just did not do it with the passion and the zeal that I used to do it with. When I really noticed that I was at burnout, I was already there. I just hadn't acknowledged it. When I noticed that I was at that burnout, I was like, I'm not leaving anything for my family. All my energy, all of that is going into work, because they're demanding all of that out of me. And then when I go home, I have nothing left. And so productivity at work went down. My presence at home went down. And that's when I was really like, you've got to do something. You've got to do something. You are in this burnout and you've got to find that balance again.
Absolutely. Well, and I know for me specifically, I ended up in burnout even in my corporate world, jumped into owning my own business and ended up in burnout again. And I think that's a common story that I hear because, you know, obviously you mentioned a couple of times that, you know, all these things were expected of you, which obviously going to work for somebody else, you're expected to do the things that you're hired in to do. But then there's also that same thing can happen, even if you're the one that's quote unquote the boss, then, you know, you're having to manage and juggle all these different aspects of a business. And I know for me, the biggest like aha wake up, because I got out of it thinking, oh, this would be great. I'm my own boss. I can make my own hours now. This is going to be wonderful. But then I didn't think about all of the behind the scene things that I never had to do, that it wasn't my job to do. All of those were already done. It was invisible to me, but now I was in charge of doing those also. So there was almost this little bit of a wake up call for me. And I ended up in another kind of form of burnout, which this time I recognized it much, much sooner, which I think is important to kind of talk about because, you know, we hear a lot of people talk about burnout and talk about kind of getting out of burnout. But I do think it's important to talk about that. It's easy to get back there again, right? Because life is busy and life is crazy and there's things change, right? And, you know, as they change, we have to be very conscientious. You mentioned something a minute ago that you said, I had nothing left at home. I had nothing left to give myself, my family. And I think that right there is something I've noticed for me is the beginning pieces where I start to notice that I'm not being able to be as attentive in areas that I want to stay attentive in. And it's not like just a day or a week or something. It's like becoming the regular. Mm-hmm. For me, that is a big warning sign. Is that something that you've kind of noticed in your own experience?
Yeah, absolutely. Because like I had mentioned, my daughter and I kind of got in this routine. I homeschooled her a couple of years. And so we got in this routine of going for daily walks, rain, snow, shine. We'd gear up and we'd go for a walk and we'd go for like 2-3 mile walks. And for us, it was a time to talk about our days. It was a time for us to really engage one-on-one with each other, as well as just being outside and present in nature. And when I noticed myself, first it was, I wasn't as engaged in the conversation. My mind started to wander and I wasn't as present in those moments. Then it turned into, you know, actually turning down those walks and coming up with excuses on like, no, it's too rainy. It's windy. It's cold. It's, you know, I've got to go do something later. I don't want to have to, you know, change out of wet clothes or whatever it may be. And then I started actually turning down those opportunities for that connection, those opportunities to get out and move. And that's when, after turning those down a couple of times and, you know, having my daughter say to me, "You can't say no this time. You've said no too many times." I'm like, whoa, that was, at that particular moment, that was a big wake up call for me, because I was like, whoa, I was little by little pulling back from this time that was so valuable to me and obviously to my daughter, that I'm like, whoa, that hit me to the core. I was just like, I need to do something. I need to do something because it's affecting the people that are important to me. And I want to be present for them. I don't want them to get the seconds. I don't want them to get leftovers.
Well, and let's kind of circle into talking about just integrating movement into your daily life and how you utilize that as a way to start to get out of that feeling of burnout. And can you give maybe some simple examples of anybody that's listening, if they're like, oh my gosh, this is my story. I'm feeling stuck. I'm feeling burnout. I'm feeling like no joy in a lot of these things I'm doing. What are some simple changes that somebody can make to incorporate a little bit more movement into a typical workday even?
Yeah, it's really about getting creative. And if you are fortunate enough to be in an environment where you have that flexibility, whether that's having your own office or having your own dedicated space at your office, or if you're at home, you actually have so much freedom to create it and be what it is that you need it to be. And especially when it's an office that's at home, and I feel like this is creeping into corporate offices as well, it doesn't have to just be a desk in a room with a chair. Yeah. That desk can move. That chair can allow you to sit cross-legged. It can allow you to sit different ways. But since I primarily work at home, and even when I was doing remote work in the corporate space, my workspace looked almost like a gym, because I had a standing desk. I had foam rollers. I had balls. No. I had balance boards. I had textured mats. I had a bunch of pillows because I would take my computer down to the floor and I'd sit on the floor and work. And so by allowing myself to get outside the box of a workspace as a desk and a chair, I was really able to get creative with my movements. Because a lot of times we think about movement is I have to go for a run. I need to go to the gym. We're thinking of these big full body movements. When just adding these little movements, sitting down on the floor is going to make us shift our position more often than if we're in a really squishy, comfy chair. And so just sitting on the floor is going to bring more movement. It's going to bring a better variety of movement. And then when you have all these little toys and things like that in that space, you know, I can be on a call and roll out my feet. I can stretch out my legs if they're feeling tired. I can stand up, I can sit down. So I can actually customize that space and allow that movement. Most of us are not built to sit down in a chair. And I think we see this in school as well. For 8 hours a day, for long periods of time, we naturally start to fidget. And then we're like, why can't I pay attention? Well, it's because you've been sitting for way too long. You got to get up and shift and allow that movement.
And, you know, as far as getting into yoga, what was it about yoga that really drew you in?
Well, what drew me in about yoga is it's not just about the movements. A lot of what we see and a lot of what people first connect to with yoga are what are called the asanas or the poses, the postures, those movements. But that's not the only facet of yoga. Yoga has so many different facets to it. There's actually, I won't go into all of them, but there's actually like 8 limbs of yoga where the movements are only one of them. And so part of yoga is also about the breath, which is really important. And I used a lot of what I learned in yoga in my corporate setting when things did get tough. When things got tough, those emotions bubbled to the top and things started to feel overwhelming. I'd tap right into my breath and I would do breathing exercises and different things to help me return back to that state of calm. And it's something that I can cross over for something that I do for myself and bring it into my family. Because anytime I rolled out my yoga mat at home, my kids would roll out theirs and they'd want to do it with me. Or I'd teach them breathing exercises and they'd share it with their friends. So it was a way that I could do something that I loved on my own if I wanted to, but I could include and share it with others, as well as have all those other facets that just helped my work life and my personal life.
Absolutely. Well, and I know, I was a trainer far before I got into yoga. And actually I used to think yoga was not a real workout. That's a whole other story. But I got into yoga because of feeling so burnout. I was literally looking for something that would help calm my mind. Cause I also have ADHD, which adds a whole other layer. So I was looking for something to help calm me. I needed something. And, you know, that was a big thing for me. And I've implemented it in with my family. I have a son who's on the spectrum and I'm sure that all of my kids are a little hyper like their mother. So it's helped all of them, right? It's one of those things that, you know, you mentioned that it's not just about the postures. And I think that is so well put, because I think a lot of people, and I was that person from a long time. I mean, I guess there was a level of like, I knew that you did breath work and all that kind of stuff, but I didn't really think about it like, okay, well, what does that actually do for your body, for your mind, like, you know, for your nervous system? Like, what does that actually do? I didn't put it all together. And I think that is something that is so huge. If you're listening and you're dealing with burnout, you know, try it. I've mentioned it to people before, and I'm like, listen, I was not that yoga person. I was that person that literally every time somebody like, well, let's go do yoga, I'd be like, oh my gosh, it's not even a real workout. No, I'm going to go to the gym. I don't want to go do yoga, you know. And now it's literally a daily practice for me. So, you know, if you're listening to this, just try it. It's something that you can try. And I think another thing people think is that you have to do this like hour long, you know, yoga practice. And even if it's 5 minutes, you know, some mornings, because I try to do every morning, definitely, and then also in the evening, but every morning, sometimes I only have like 5 minutes, but that 5 minutes makes a huge difference. So
absolutely.
What are some misconceptions that maybe you've heard about, you know, yoga or even fitness in general? And maybe what are some things that you, you know, can utilize to help kind of combat that or address it?
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking on yoga first, a lot of that comes from social media and what we see. I always tell people I'm not your Instagram yogi. You're not going to see a ton of what would be considered advanced poses on my page, because a lot of the people that I work with one-on-one, a lot of those private clients, they're coming to me because they don't feel comfortable in those group settings for that exact reason. Because they know that they could benefit from yoga. They want to try it, but they're way too intimidated to go into that group setting, or they just don't think that they know how to do it, or they're going to, you know, make a fool of themselves or whatever it may be. They don't have that confidence to do it because of what they've seen. When, you know, I've worked with clients and, you know, after working with them for a couple of weeks and we go through, you know, what I would consider like a beginner flow, they'll be like, wow, all right, I'm glad I'm finally doing yoga. Be like, well, guess what? You've been doing yoga the entire time.
I love that.
You know, so it's yoga can literally just be standing on your feet. It's laying on your back. So that there's that one, that misconception. I feel like on social media, a lot of times we want to show off these complex flows, these twisting ourselves into these pretzels and getting into these really crazy positions. And then people are like, whoa, if that's yoga, I'm not flexible enough for that. I can't do that. And then another just misconception about movement in general is that we have to prescribe ourselves movement. We think, okay, if I want to move, I've got to go join that group fitness class, or I need to go join that Foodie Busters boot camp, which I have nothing against any of those. But when we feel like we have to actually like prescribe ourselves this, then it becomes another thing that we need to do. It's exactly. another yeah. thing that's added to our schedule. It's yet another thing that we have to keep on top of. When let's just strip it down. Why do we do that? To move. Mm-hmm. So how about we look at how we want to move? What activities do we love to do? What movements do we need from those activities? So let's take, you know, golf, for example. You have to be able to squat down so you can grab your ball because you hit that hole in one. You have to be able to rotate your body. So if you really think about, what are the things that I love to do? What are those movements that don't seem like a chore? I don't have to prescribe myself, you know, all those activities you love to do. And really think about, what are the movements that it takes to do those? How can I fit more of those into my day? And then that takes a little bit of that pressure off, that it's like, I didn't go have 60 minutes for the gym. And just like you said, it doesn't have to be 60 minutes. Just the other day, I had a headache, and in the kitchen, I stopped and I did 5 minutes of yoga and some stretching just to loosen things up and ease my headache.
Absolutely. No, and I think that's huge, because I think, you know, those are all misconceptions. And I love what you said about the Instagram, because I've had people say that to me too, like, I can't do that. I'm like, well, if you can, great, but not everybody's body is going to be able to do that. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you can't do yoga. Yoga is for all body types. Yoga is for all, you know, flexibility and mobility, you know, and I think that is a big, huge misconception. I know for somebody that's just kind of like starting out on a wellness journey, or maybe they've been on a wellness journey, but now they're just trying to get out of this like burnout phase. What is a first step that you would recommend? Because sometimes it's like, okay, yeah, I need to do something, and this is a lot of good information, but like, what's one thing that maybe I could start today?
So I'd say one thing that you could start today to get yourself out of that space is to allow yourself uninterrupted to just sit with yourself. So it could be going and finding a quiet corner to just go sit. It could be going outside, putting your bare feet on the ground and just letting the sun just pour over you, or just whatever the weather may be that day. So it could be something that's just as simple as just allow yourself a few moments of distracted free time with yourself. One, so that you can actually hear what's going on. What is it that I actually need? Because I've been, you know, like you had mentioned, burnout, you can come into it, you can go out of it, you can come right back into it. But a lot of the times it's different. So there's sometimes when, you know, the burnout was just mental. I was doing way too many things, had way too many things going on in my head. And when I finally sat with myself and asked myself, what do I need? What is there too much of? It was too much mental chatter. There was too much demands, too many things coming at me. And I'm like, okay, I need to reduce some of that demand on my time, some of that mental chatter. So I turned to meditation, breath work, and actually learning to say no to some things, setting those boundaries. And then there's other times where the burnout was, I've been working so hard, head down on my computer, I'm not moving, and my body needs movement. And so then it's go for a walk, do more yoga, or by more yoga, I mean, actually pick up my personal practice, because I probably didn't at that time. You know, you sometimes sacrifice those things. So being aware of what it is that you actually need.
I'm glad that you mentioned, because this was actually going to lead me in. So thank you for that. That wasn't even planned to lead me in the next part of the conversation. But you mentioned about your bare feet being on the ground and just about grounding. And, you know, again, that's something that maybe some people have heard of it, maybe some haven't. but I do want you to talk a little bit about that. And also, you know, we talked a little bit privately just about footwear and some of these things, and I want you to kind of share a little bit about that with our audience.
Yeah, absolutely. I find the feet just extremely fascinating. One, because we just don't think about them. I mean, unless we're thinking about cute shoes that we want to put on. I was even going and getting a pedicure the other day, and, you know, someone just kept like apologizing. They're like, oh, you know, my ugly feet. And I'm like, you don't need to be here, sit here and apologize. You don't have ugly feet. We have this weird connection with our feet. Like, we're so disconnected to them. But there's so much power in our feet. They are literally our foundation. They are how we get from point A to point B, but we pay them so little attention. And in terms of being barefoot and why that's so important and grounding, I feel like we're hearing more and more about grounding. That's really about letting those feet be free, letting those feet actually feel those surfaces. So with grounding, one of the best times to go out and ground, if you want to make that a practice, is first thing in the morning. Go step outside, go get some natural sunlight, or just get out in the natural elements for just a few moments. It could be literally just a couple minutes, and let your feet sink into the ground. And if it's just a little bit damp, that's even better. You can get even more of a connection with the ground. But the bottom of our feet are full of nerves. And those nerves, called proprioceptors, actually talk to our nervous system. And so we get a lot of information sent to our nervous system about our movement from our feet. And so it's always a great way to enhance our wellness to spend more time barefoot, to actually focus on those feet. Because when we put them in shoes that are stiff, when we put them in shoes that aren't shaped like feet or are really narrow, we're really turning off those sensors. We're turning off that connection to our feet. And even if you're listening to this right now, you can even start to really think about your feet and actually try to picture your feet without looking at them. And can you really feel them? Can you feel each toe? And if you're like, well, no, I can't, it just feels like one big thing at the end of my leg, then take your shoes off, put them on the ground, and then see how much you can feel your feet. When we are more connected with our bodies and we're more connected with ourselves, we have a much more stable nervous system. We enter that space of calm a little bit easier. And just having that connection to ourselves is important from a movement standpoint, as well as just that mental being standpoint, because we are aware and we're present in our bodies.
Absolutely. Well, and what I find interesting is I mentioned earlier that I have ADHD, and for my entire life, I have always wanted to be barefooted. You would have to like force shoes on me, and I would wear them when I had to, but most of the time I was just barefoot. I mean, I'm barefooted right now. Like, I'm barefooted as much as possible. And it was interesting once I started learning kind of more about grounding. I thought, you know, I wonder if this entire time, subconsciously, my nervous system just knew that I needed that extra grounding, that extra, you know. And I think it's interesting, if you watch kids don't want shoes on, you know. My kids always wanted to be barefoot, and I mean, my husband's one of those people that he walks around in shoes even in the house. Once shoes on, he has house shoes, and they're not like house shoes, they're shoes for the house. So yeah, it's just a big joke between our you know, our family, that like, but the kids are like me, they just want to be barefooted all the time. And you know, it's interesting though that really there's science behind it, right? There's science behind, you know, why kids want to do that. And I think that as adults, we still want that, need that. We've just trained ourselves out of it.
Oh yeah, it's one of those things that it's something that we are told. Like I said, you know, we're told to go to school, go to college, get a job. Like, we're told to put shoes on. You want to go outside? Put your shoes on. Yeah. You want to go do this? Go put your shoes on. And when we do that, we lose that sense of connection. And if you want to think about it from a movement standpoint, if we can't feel what we're stepping on, how can we respond to that? Just the other day, I was going for a walk and I didn't realize that I had stepped on the edge of a curb. So I'm literally just kind of floating with half of my foot on a curb, but because I work on my foot health all the time, and my body was aware of it. It was able to turn on the stabilizers it needed to sit there and float. I could have stood there for several minutes probably, mm-hmm. where if someone didn't have that connection, wasn't training that area of their body, they might have just collapsed right in, rolled an ankle, fell off that edge of that curb, and then impaired their ability to move. And I mean, there's several studies, and you know, a lot of trainers talk about this. It's like we get energy, we get motivation, we feel creative when we are moving. Movement helps us not just physically, but mentally.
Absolutely. Well, and it helps just energetically. Everything is energy, mm-hmm. you know? So I think that is so true. And, you know, once we kind of take a step back and think about it, you know, we know that, you know, it's something that we know. It's just sometimes hard to break out of these habits, these burnout habits, these routines mm-hmm. that aren't in our best interest. It's hard, even when we know. Because, you know, I mentioned a few times in this conversation that, you know, I will do really well with keeping myself kind of balanced, right? Our body, everything is always seeking balance. And I'll do really well with keeping kind of my life in balance. And then, you know, something happens that throws everything out of whack again. And I'm left to try to find my center. And I think that is the reality for most people's lives. And I think where we make the mistake is thinking that that's not the norm, because it is the norm. Mm-hmm. You know, the key yeah. is you should be always trying to find that balance. And it may take a few hours, a few days, a few months, whatever, but you need to try to always be centering yourself and finding that balance. Now, I know you work with people, and I do. I know we've been talking for a little bit, so I'm gonna start kind of wrap this up. But I want you to talk a little bit about what you do with people and maybe how they can connect with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I work one-on-one with individuals as well as in group settings, whether that's at a studio class or workshops. I actually have a workshop coming up in 2 weeks. That's the foundational health from the ground up, where we actually explore the feet and get reacquainted with the feet. The last time I did this workshop, it was such a great group of individuals. I had people that were 11 years old to 84 years old. Kids that were athletes to older individuals who did competitive ballroom dancing or had toe mm-hmm. amputations and just wanted to mitigate their risk of falling. So it's a really great chance to learn more about your feet. We don't go into a ton of anatomy, but it's this forgotten area of the body. We just don't think about it. So how can we add that to our wellness routine? How can we make those feet feel better and actually create this positive ripple effect that goes all the way up the body? Like I mentioned, so those educational workshops, I actually just published a mini course that's called Learn to Hate Your Shoes, Why It's Time to Walk Away from Toxic Shoe Culture. And it's all about what our shoes are doing to our feet and how we can make more foot forward purchasing decisions when we are finding those, when we are looking for that footwear. And I started doing that even when I worked in the office. Thankfully, when I had the office at that particular agency, they didn't care if I walked around barefoot. I was that person. I walked around barefoot. I came in flip flops and I put my heels on only when I absolutely had to. And so, you know, how can we create that shift, in our wellness from the ground up?
I love that. And I don't think enough people, there's not enough people out there focusing on the feet. Like you mentioned earlier yeah. that, you know, you see these like buns of steel type things, you see great back, great abs, mm-hmm. whatever, but I don't see anybody out there really talking about the feet, even though intrinsically we all kind of know that that is mm-hmm. very, very important. And I love that you are kind of hyper focusing on that, because it is so true. It is the foundation. And if anybody has ever had an injured foot, I mean, they can tell you right there, it affects everything. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. My daughter, she's 19. She got her pinky toe, because we all hear the pinky toe is like, yeah, there's the pinky toe doesn't do that. It just hangs there. Right. She got her mm-hmm. pinky toe injured. And she had the hardest time even be able to walk. And then of course her knees started hurting, her hips started hurting, you know how that goes. And it's because just this tiny little thing can cause this ripple effect negatively. But also if you're treating your feet kindly, it can cause a ripple effect positively. So yeah, I love that you're absolutely doing that. Before we end this, is there anything that you want to leave our listeners with, whether it's about, you know, kind of what to do if they're feeling overwhelmed, or even about integrating, you know, fitness into their already busy lives? Is there something that you really just kind of want to leave them with?
What I want to say is, don't be afraid to be playful. We're the ones that tell ourselves that we become too old to play. Don't forget to let yourself play, even as an adult. And that could be, you know, exploring ground sitting. That could be exploring sleeping on the ground. That could be actually getting out and going and playing on the playground with your kids rather than sitting on the bench and reading a book. So don't allow yourself to play into, I'm too old to play. We all can play. And if we think of movement as play, then we don't have to prescribe ourselves as much movement. And then that way we do start to curb that burnout, because it becomes fun. It becomes creative. And then it also involves those individuals that we want to have. So it can involve that family. It can bring us closer to that family. And then having them there to lift us up can help get us out of that burnout. They can help get us out of that mindset, that mental chatter, if that's where we're at.
I love that. Well, I want to thank you, first of all, for being on here today. And I'm sure that everybody found this conversation as enlightening and as motivating as I did. I love talking to people that kind of have this uplifted vibe about them. And you're definitely one of those people. If you're listening to this on the podcast platform, if you go down to the show notes, you can find the links to Christy and all of her workshops and everything that she's got going on there. Make sure you follow and figure out all the things she's got going on. And that way you're focusing on your foot health, focusing on your wellness, and getting yourself out of that burnout. So Christy, again, thank you so much for being on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Life is a winding road, no telling where it goes. Driving through days and nights,